Good evening and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I am your host, Esther Tyree, and in the studio this evening with me is Major Handy, local musician of many skills, which we'll let him elaborate on. And he's also one of the local musicians playing Festival International, which starts next week. Yay! So welcome, Major. Thank you for coming into the studio to share your inspiration and your practice and your journey as a musician and all the things you've developed along the way.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. C'est moi plaisir. So this is, when talking with you, the intent of the show is, I didn't know that. And all you talking to me, I'm going, I didn't know that. So it's the title of the show, Je Savais Pas. So what was your first instrument that you started with or was sort of the appeal to get involved with music?
Well, after listening to songs and radios and decided that I wanted to be a guitar player, it seems the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I built my own little makeshift home guitar. I have my mama's screen porch wires.
There you go.
A cigar box and a piece of wood, looked like a guitar neck.
Uh-huh.
Drilled holes for the strings and used the pegs. The tuning pegs were off a China ball tree. How about that?
It's so interesting. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention.
And I had no idea how the tuning was, but I learned to make it. I didn't know for some reason. Somebody told me that years after. If you don't have it in your head and you can't hum it, you will not play it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, internal hearing is very important.
But I did
important.
That before I even heard the phrase, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you started with a box guitar that
yes.
you made.
Sure. And
that was step one.
That was step one. That was the first thing.
Baby steps.
After you have to make up your mind what you want to really do. So anyway, after that, I was working with my uncle in the fields, picking okra and going to the market to sell it and all that stuff. And we were pretty tight, and he used to take me with him to the market, and he used to give me $7 or whatever, you know, and buy me ice cream and a hamburger. And we'd go back home, and he would do that 2-3 times a week. So I would save my money, right? And I said, one day I'm going to have enough to buy a guitar. And I really wanted a real guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, I encountered a guitar in the neighborhood. My next door neighbors, the guy had, he was way much older than I, but he worked offshore and he had a guitar, and I guess he didn't want to play it anymore. And I asked him, I said, well, if you ever decide you want to sell it, I want first shot at it. And it wasn't long, 6 months, a year maybe. And I was walking on the road, and he said, you want it?
Wow.
I said, yeah, $25. And I had the money.
Uh-huh.
I immediately turned around, went home, got my little $25 under the mattress.
And I've been saving.
Yeah. I had more than that, but that's all he wanted. He said, I really wanted to do that, right? So I bought the guitar. Now I had to learn how to tune it and play it. And there was no resources like the internet or nothing. There was nothing. I didn't even hardly had a TV. But anyway, I used to watch them on TV playing guitars.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was when I went to the music store, you know, we used to visit the music store constantly because I just wanted to look at them, you know, at least. So I bought a book. I didn't really understand it, but it showed where to put your fingers and all that stuff. So I started practicing like that. First of all, the first mistake I made was not learning how to tune it, just learning how to play it. So I had it tuned, not really the standard tuning.
Right, just how
so I learned really well, like playing it like that, you know. And one day I asked guys, can I play your guitar? And he said, yes. I said, well, it's not tuned. He said, well, yes, it is.
Uh-oh.
I said, oh, my God. Don't tell me. I learned how to play it like that. So it was a challenge to go back and relearn.
Absolutely.
Well, I did that pretty quick because I've worked on it day and night.
Mm-hmm.
So. Then, you know, it got to a point where I got offered to be in a band.
Wow.
With my cousins, and they wanted me to play bass. And it was like, okay, 4 strings. I know I can do that.
If I did 6, I can do 4.
Just about that time, I learned that humming it and playing it, what you hum, was the key to playing.
Absolutely.
If you can't play what you hum, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're singing out of key when you're playing, something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
because you're not supposed to be able to sing out of key. I tried it, I can't. Anyway, so I got in that band and we played, you know, like maybe a couple of years or something, whatever. And I got offered to go to a bigger band and they wanted a bass player. Well, I was a seasoned bass player then.
I'm qualified.
I am qualified. It was my cousin, you know, and I played with that band many, many, many happy gigs and gone to Texas and Lake Charles and, you know, Patterson, Morgan mm-hmm. City. Oh, Morgan City was a stop for us. And I got into that band, and the bass player got drafted in the service. Not the guitar player. The bass player got drafted in, I took his place, and then the guitar player left after that, and I had to take his place. So now I was back to guitar. I was doing some real hard studying. And there was another guitar player. There was two guitar players in the band, and I learned a lot from him. He was pretty good. And from that band, I went to where? Maybe I was off for a minute, you know, just hanging out.
Maybe enjoying life.
Yeah. And then I got a job. No, what I did was I started a little band with some little young fellas by the house. Young, really young, mm-hmm. like 13, 14. And I taught them all how to play all the instruments, and we had a good band.
Wow.
Yeah, the bass player fell in love, and the band fell apart.
Uh-oh.
So that was it.
Sounds like a song.
Bad look.
But, you know, I've learned in 3 years of teaching that if you get somebody to teach somebody else, it helps them learn it.
Yeah. The band was really good. You know, we had a really good little neighborhood band, and we played Sam Clubs with Buckwheat Zydeco. Well, he wasn't Buckwheat Zydeco. He was the R&B band there.
Yeah.
We went up there, and then the band broke up again.
Ah.
And I was off for a minute and stuff. And then what happened was is that I went into maybe just playing for a long time, not playing with a band at all.
Mm-hmm.
I got married. I went to Vietnam. And when I came back, I actually finished my school, finished high school, graduated, went to work for the sheriff department for about 8-9 years, and I did all that. And then I got a job with Rockin' Doopsie. That's when I had to leave the sheriff department because he was gone. Yeah. So I left with Rockin' Doopsie, playing guitar for Rockin' Doopsie
uh-huh.
for many years. And after that, I got invited into the first Buckwheat Elzon Parti band. I was kind of tired of being on the road. I had a little family. My wife was fussing, and I decided I was going to stay kind of like around here because mm-hmm. Buckwheat had just left Clifton Chenier, and he was starting his Elzon Parti band, and I was one of the first people in that band.
That's really neat.
Yeah. Could you believe Charlie Reese was in that band? Ted Zerbin.
Wow.
Yeah. Charlie Reese was in that band when we first started.
Mela.
Yeah,
Mela. Did not know that.
Yeah, girl. I know some stories. Anyway.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Anyway, after I did Rockin' Doopsie, I decided that I was going to learn how to play an accordion. And I formed the Louisiana Blues Band. I left Buckwheat after about 3 months. I mm-hmm. said I didn't want to do that. That's not what I wanted to really do.
Yeah.
Because by that time, I had already made up in my mind I wanted my own band and I wanted to be what I set out to be, a band leader. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I did was sit down on the driveway, sit down in my house and learn to play the accordion because I played piano. My little girl took piano lessons, so I stole some lessons from her, you know.
Two for the price of one.
I did that.
Uh-huh.
And after I started playing the accordion, I formed the Louisiana Blues Band.
And is this the one that went to Bern and you have a recording of them?
Yes.
Okay. That's really cool. You played in a Bern festival.
Yeah.
What song are we going to listen to?
Allons tout que can.
I'll let you say it again.
Allons tout que can. That means allons tout que can. That means let's go, everybody. Put your foot on the floor. Let's dance.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm a chair dance. All right. Let's have a listen.
Song I wrote called Allons tout que can. Allons tout que can.
That was over in Bern. I bet they had a blast.
No, they was rolling over there.
I bet it was so.
Like, you know, it was like, and then I had Ray Fanil with me. You know, he was a blues guy, and it was just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun doing that jazz fest because it was like a big round building, and it was packed with people that was interested in Louisiana music. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was good, really good. I had a good time doing that.
So you went from guitar to bass. You observed your daughter playing piano, learned piano, and then accordion. And so you were playing accordion on this track?
Oh, yeah. Okay. By that time, that was 1989. By that time, I could play an accordion, baby. You understand?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you wanted to be a band leader. You usually sing. So what was that journey like?
Okay, the singing thing came to be. That was a must. I had to. I never sang until after the Louisiana Blues Band, and when we broke up,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to continue, and the mistake I made was not singing. Mm-hmm. So now I said, okay, this time I'm gonna be a singer, a band leader, an accordion player, a guitar player, a bass player, all of it. Okay,
one man band.
That was a really, 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 for me, when I look back at it, a really smart thing to do, to mm-hmm. be able to do that. When I went into Alberta, Canada, I lived there for 7 years, and seeing people doing that with machines over there, playing in the studio and recording their songs by themselves, mm-hmm. with drum tracks and everything, and I wanted to learn that. So I had after I was in Canada for going back and forth for a couple of years, I got offered by the Canadian consulate to stay in Canada and have a Zydeco band of Canadians.
Wow.
Took that all the way to the Montreal Jazz Fest in 1993.
What a neat experience.
I did that. And, you know, and the thing was with that, I enjoyed it because I was teaching them. I was the band leader. That's what I always wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so after the Montreal Jazz Fest, that was like, okay, I stayed in Canada. I went to the Northwest Territory and spent 6 months at a club over there playing a gig. And then I decided maybe I should come back to Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was nothing else for me to do. They only allow you to do one thing over there. You can't get a job. You can't do nothing, you know. It's not like you can just, I'll stay here and get a job, you know.
Right.
That don't work like that. You have to have a sponsor. You have to have all kinds. I had sponsors, mm-hmm. you know. I had a lot of clubs. I worked in Banff,
mm-hmm.
you know, British Columbia, all across Canada. All across Canada. I did a lot of stuff in Canada. And then after that, it was like, I guess I either ought to apply for something else or apply for some kind of visa to stay there. Well, then I decided maybe no. I don't think I want to grow old over here. I think I want to go home. So I went home. I came home with all that technology of sequencing my own music. I had my own one-man band, and it was like, I said, wow, now what am I going to do with that? So what I did was, I chilled out for a couple of years, and then I started breaking it out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one guy said, listen, man, he said, you sound really good. That thing sounds just like a band. And he said, you know what? You shouldn't be embarrassed because it's a drum machine. It's you. It's all you. The whole sequence, it's all you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you should just go with that because what happens here is you hone your skill at that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I
you
spent
do.
A lot of nights and days making sure that it sounded good. One guy told me, hey, no drummer can play that because there was too much drums. You know, you have to listen to that, you know.
Right.
So, but anyway, until today, it's been very, very, very rewarding and successful for me doing mm-hmm. that because I play a lot of private parties all over the world, even in the president of Belgium's front living room.
Wow.
Okay. I started Café des Amis with the sequencer.
Mm-hmm.
I started that in, 98?
So we have a track, because you didn't jump into lead singing first. You did what? You were invited to do what first?
lead singing.
Yeah, you didn't do that first. You told me.
No. What made me do that was my singer quit.
Uh-oh.
And then I had to learn how to deal with that. So the best thing to do is learn how to sing, fool.
Yeah. Back up first.
Because I know I could play music and I can play in tune and I can, mm-hmm. I should be able to sing really well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I did it, yeah.
So we have a track here. It says you were Louisiana Blues Band. You were started your singing with backup first.
With backup first.
All right, well, let's...
And arranging backup. I was arranging all that.
Okay. It's a good place to start. Let's listen to this track.
Been running here, running there. What is that people are saying? I'm asking you, girl, what is that you're doing? I need you, you need me. We both know that we love one another. Why can't you understand me when I tell you?
From backup to lead to playing festivals. Yeah. You're playing Festival International. Do you know what day?
Yeah.
I know you know what day.
I know.
Tell us what day.
That's like, that might be something I've done in the first beginning of one of those little bands. I wasn't really used to coming to Lafayette a lot. Okay, so, you know, and then when that little band, the Liquid Fire, mm-hmm. came out, then we was a little bit all over the place. And I think maybe somebody invited us to come and do some kind of little thing at Festival International. That thing's been going on for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah.
So you're playing Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
Across from the courthouse.
Fun. What they're having there is going to be a kind of welcoming thing for all the participants and mm-hmm. the people and stuff. It's going to be like a nice little gathering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully we'll have good weather. And then I just lost my train of thought. Oh, well. So we know that, this is what I wanted to ask you. What's the makeup of the band?
The makeup of the band is the guitar, and I play guitar too in it, and a keyboard, saxophone, mm-hmm. drums, and bass, mm-hmm. who is played by the one and only Lee Allen Zeno. Yeah. Yeah. Lil Buck Senegal.
There you
Major Handy. Robert Richard. Josh Lazo on keyboards and sax. Maybe mm-hmm. Rob Boyd, too, because I don't think Miss Francis is going to be on the play. She's not going to do that. And that's pretty much the band, six-piece band.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun.
Band. Yeah.
So you started writing your songs and you launched into singing.
Right.
So what's this next one we're going to listen to?
Come On Home. This is the song that did it.
Kind of got you out there.
Well, yes. Went all over the world. Not this on another different CD, on the Wolf Cochon CD, mm-hmm. which I have in my computer at home. It's not here. But I didn't really sing that song. On the Wolf Cochon, I sung it, but there's a previous recording of it
mm-hmm.
that was sung by Gerald Falk, my friend. Gerald Falk, you never heard who that is? He's a wonderful singer. But, you know, he worked for the Lafayette Sheriff's Office, and he didn't want to go on the road, and I wanted, so we split up, and there we go. And then I took it a little further.
Uh-huh.
But I did the Wolf Cochon album, which took me to Bon Jazz Festival and everywhere around the world. And then this latest CD I did with APO Studios, who is Chad Kaysen, Miss Rita Broussard's son, that has this big record company over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited me and Harry Hippolyte, Lil Buck. He had us all over there. Cooking gumbo. And
wow.
Yeah.
So much fun. Well, we're going to go out with that song, Come On Home. So I'm going to do my exit speech. Je Savais Pas is a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joined you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and online at krvs.org. Major, it's been a real pleasure
Thank you so much, Esther.
In the studio, and look forward to seeing you on stage at festival and having you back in the studio to talk more about your songwriting and your journey and all your other stories that you have.
It was a nice and pleasant journey, Esther. I'm telling you, when I look back, it was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This isn't a Come On Home.
me out, brother. Come on home.